Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I
God bless you. Amen. Welcome to in this Blog Talk Hour. Amen. We thank God for what he's about to do in this time. And we welcome you all back. Amen. We had to take a brief intermission on how we were doing with the blog. Amen. Blog Talk. But nevertheless, all things are well, and we are going forward. So we thank God once again. Welcome to Every Word, to Every Word Hour. Amen. This Blog Talk Radio Hour. Amen. And Apostle Marcus Dupree, and we're going to get ready to go into prayer. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. We give you praise, give you honor, Lord. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for this opportunity you've given to us to come celebrate your presence, oh God, to operate, to do what you call us to do in Jesus' name, to bless, Lord God, the word, even as we are blessed by your word. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given to us, Lord God, to come together on one accord, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, Lord God, to do whatever and all that you have us to do. So we thank you right now. We bind interruptions. We bind any demonic forces in operation. We bind the spirit of voice. We bind any spiritual hijacking in Jesus' name. We call to alignment, divine alignment, even under your presence right now, the presence of the Holy Ghost, Lord God. We come into subjection to you, your word, and we thank you, Lord God. We humbly submit our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church tonight. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Lord, reprogram and even renew our mind according to the word and with the word in Jesus' name. So, Father, thank you for the empowerment. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for even the heart, Lord God, reset tonight in Jesus' name, that you would reset our hearts to you in Jesus' name. That everything that needs to be done, Lord God, shall be done, will be done in Jesus' name as we receive, Lord God, your word tonight. Thank you for your word. Doing and going forth in action, Lord God. Breaking barriers, Lord God, that man cannot break, Lord God. Cause us to go to heights that no man can take us from. In Jesus' name, God, go to deeper depths which no man can follow. So we thank you for your word tonight, for your word, doing as we hear and receive your word. Thank you for the changes that shall come from your word and the empowerment through your word. In Jesus' name, that we should have the victory in your word, oh God. So we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God, for all that you're doing, all that you're saying and speaking in Jesus' name. And we receive with gladness, oh God, the truth of your word, the very core of it in Jesus' name. So Father, bless you. We thank you, Lord God, for just doing all that you have us to do in the name of Jesus, oh God, as we come into subjection to your word. Thank you, Lord God, as we follow the leader, as we follow you in your presence, oh God. Thank you for the manifestation, your presence, that shall begin. So, Father, thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, we thank you for moving tonight. We thank you right now for your presence, oh God. Do what you desire to do as we humbly submit ourselves to your word tonight. Thank you for the change that's about to happen, take place, and shift, oh God, the paradigm shift. Thank you for the movement of your spirit, oh God, moving even as you hover across the waters. Thank you for moving and hovering across our lives, changing and moving things into motion as we speak, as we hear, and as we do, for the manifestation of your presence, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus, O God, we give you praise, give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, Jesus, increase that I decrease right now. Jesus, increase that I decrease right now. Jesus, increase that I decrease now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Welcome once again, amen, to the Blog Talk Hour, amen, and more specifically, Every Word. Amen. This is Every Word session tonight. We thank God for each and every one. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree with Prophet Selena Dupree. We thank God for each and every one. Even at Eagles Wings International Ministries, we thank God for you all as well. As we come tonight, we come to hear the word and receive instruction by the word. Amen. So we thank God for what he's about to do in this hour. We actually turn with us to Mark chapter 11 as we get ready to get into it. Amen. You know, as we go through life, as we embrace life and go through changes, there are some things that will change. There are some things that won't change. There are some things that needs to be changed but has not changed. But bottom line is there are some things in our lives that we can change. There's a lot of things we can change in life. And there's a lot of things that we cannot change. Once certain things have taken place, it's just out of our hands and out of our control. And all we can do from that point is either manage or take what we've been given and make the best and make the most out of it. Amen. So it's real talk with real situations in life. But nevertheless, we serve a God who is over all of that. He is the game changer, the true game changer in the whole sector of life. with God, he can do all things. And there's, you know, there's so much he can do that, you know, but we have to do it on his terms. You know, we have to do it legally according to his word. We can't do it the way we want to do it and expect it to come out the way we want it. It does not work like that. But we're going to go forth and we're going to see some of the word in action tonight. Mark chapter 11. And we'll start at verse 12. Now, I want to read all of this here, but we'll come back and more so dissect and deal with those different areas that we need to deal with. Amen. I'll be reading from King James Version and NLT Version, New Life Translation. Amen. So we're going to get ready to get started. Mark chapter 11, starting at verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said, "Let no one eat from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables on the money changers, or the money changers in the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But he had not made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. And when he had come, he went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed was withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whatever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." Amen. So, amen. That was Mark chapter 11, verse 12 through 26. So here we want to talk about. We're seeing this, the fig tree in action. We see different things happening here. But tonight we're going to talk about changing your world and overcoming your mountain. Changing your world and overcoming your mountain. Changing your world and overcoming your mountain. Now, I'm going to come back to this, but I want to go to one more scripture. Go to Hebrews, very familiar. We went with this a few times, probably recently. Hebrews 11, chapter 3. I'm sorry, Hebrews 11, verse 3, excuse me, not chapter 3, verse 3. And it is by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of those things which are visible. Amen. And of course, we go back to where we came from, Mark chapter 11. So as we get into it, let's look at and see exactly what the Lord is saying to us in this hour. Here we see Jesus sees the fig tree hungry. He sees the fig tree from afar off. And he was hungry. He approached the tree, even though it was not the season for figs. Now, as I researched this, and I found out that it was the prefigs that come upon the tree in this time and season before the time for figs. Healthy for these prefigs to show up. They are edible, and the purpose for them being there is because it's part of the process of getting to figs. When these figs come on, is the indication that it will be a fruitful season. It will be productive. Is that you can expect figs because it's going to come. Now, when they didn't have that, that was a tree that was barren, a tree that was not going to be productive. It was not. And usually the leaves that help along in that situation, it would be the leaves would be green. And then, of course, you have the zanktongs, I think not zanktongs, but the prefix that would be there at the time. So here it is, as Jesus approached and he saw that the leaves are there, which indication there's life, there's growth progression. But then all of a sudden he sees there's no fruit. So there's no prefix. So with this, he spoke. He said, nothing, no one shall ever eat from you again. He cursed the fig tree. He cursed it because it was not productive. Remember, matter of fact, on that note, let's go back. Let's go, not back, but let's go to John chapter 15. It's drunk from our spirit, 15, verse 1. Starting at verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bring forth more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So this is another part to this thing that we see here. We see here from these scriptures that the Lord does not like, he's looking for productivity. He's looking for growth. He's looking for whatever he puts in motion to go forth to produce. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and it was light. I'm pretty sure there would be a big situation if it was not light after he said, let there be light. But even more on a smaller scale, as Jesus spoke, he said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. God does not like to be connected to things that is not growing, productive, not alive. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. He's not playing. He wants production. He's a God of productivity. He's a God of results. This is our God. And this is what he likes. This is what he desires, especially with us and through us. So he said, every branch in me. So this is the key thing. Everything needs to be connected to him. If it's not going to be connected to God, it's not going to produce. It has to be connected to God. So he said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Not only are you connected, but the proof of your connection is bringing forth fruit. What are we producing? What are you producing? If we look at our lives right now, what can we say is really happening in our lives? Are we really producing? Are we being productive? Is our world responding to the life force that's thriving through us? What are we carrying? Who are we carrying? What are we releasing? Who are we releasing? Amen. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bring forth more fruit. So not only that, but God doesn't just like for you to get stuck at producing that one level. He also likes for you to excel, to grow, to produce, That's why God is a fan of growth. He's a fan of growth, productivity. He's a God of increase. All these things are showing us who our God is the characteristics of God in motion. As we see a closer look, we see that that's why he got mad when it came down to the man with the talents, the 5, 3, and 1. He was upset the fact that the one who had the one talent, he did nothing with it but hide it. So because he hid it, that God said, that's an evil thing. One reason I could probably believe that it was evil, because the fact is, when you hide it, you're not being a blessing to no one. You hide it, you're putting it aside just for yourself. And even and from that point, you're not causing, you're not being productive, because God, once again, God is the God of this productive in the kingdom. He wants results. He wants lives to be changed, touched. If that was the case, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. Remember this. Jesus came to save those who were lost. So that means not only they weren't producing, but they weren't able to reproduce because they weren't connected to the vine. So Jesus is one who come back to bring reconciliation, connection, growth, life, and in order with that life, he's expecting to have results of life actions, transactions, results, productivity, fruit. He's expecting to see something from the connection. So we say we've been saved so many years. What manifestation of the evidence do we have to show proof that we have saved, that we've been properly connected with God? Is our life really changing lives? Are we touching lives the way we ought to be touching? Are we bringing forth results that we ought to be bringing? Amen. Once again, this is a welcome to the Blog Talk Hour. Amen. This is Every Word. And anyone who desires to have a question, desires to speak, the number is 347-945-5416. 347-945-5416. Press 1 to speak. Amen. So when you look at from the standpoint, what the Lord is showing when he approached that fig tree, and the fig tree did not have a proper response. He did not like that because he addressed the tree. He addressed, well, before I go back there real quick, when he told with the branch, every branch that bears fruit, he pruned. God is, he wants us to be productive, keep producing. So he goes on to say that it may bring forth more fruit. He said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, this is the key thing here. Change begins by our speech. Our decision, our speech, our next action that we do. So it just doesn't stay in your head about change. But in order for change to happen, it needs to be initiated it by faith. We have to activate change by faith. We can think about faith, desire. I mean, we can think about a change. Chase after change. We want change. We can desire change, but we have to begin with a change of heart first. We change in our heart and settle in our mind. Then we begin to speak, and then our actions follow what we speak and what we do. It's very important for us to understand. Change is not change unless we change. We have to do something different. People say, oh, someone made a 180. Well, if you did a 180, you're right back where you started. I'm sorry, 360. Someone said, God, that didn't make a 360 turn. Well, you went right back where you started. You left one place and came right back to that spot. That's a 360. But if you did a 180, 180 is one direction to the other direction, and that means change. Okay, let me bring it a little closer. When we talk about, Lord, forgive me, see, we can ask God to forgive us 50 times, but never really repent, never really change. But when real change comes, you do something different. Then now there's a true repentance. You acknowledge that was wrong. You acknowledge it wasn't good. You missed the mark. Now you are bringing forth the results that have had results of your heart. And so if you truly repent, when you repent, that means you change direction. You're doing something different now. So without true repentance or without a true acknowledgement of the situation, you really can't have change the way you need to. Amen. So when we see the change here, what it shows us that in the Word, that as we think, that's why the Bible says, "A man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So as it begins with a thought, even in our hearts, and even maybe even a desire for change. Some people's lives, they don't like the life that they have. They want something different. They need something different. They need some things to change, to shift, to move. But the thing is, it begins with us. It takes a made our mind and a focused decision where we're going and just begin to speak. Not only speak, but go forth and do. So here, we see here that he's a God of results. He's a God of change. He wants production. He's just not one just for you to keep doing the same thing over and over, but yet expect something different. That is insanity. Okay, you are already clean through the word which I've spoken to you. So even in the midst of the change is the word. In the midst of the change, we will find the word. Now, what is the word doing in our lives? What are we doing with the word in our lives? In the midst of this change in this activity, what are we speaking in this season? We have to be productive in our speech. We have to be life force in our speech. What I mean by life force in our speech, we can't be speaking doom and gloom of ourselves, but yet expect great things to happen. Because of who we are as tripartite beings, we are a spirit, we possess a soul, live in a body. The real core of you is spirit. So it's going to take spiritual-like things in order for you to have your results. So see, when we see the word of God, we see the word going forward as we begin to speak the word, we begin to set the motion of new change in our lives. So if there's your life, you look at your life right now, look, and you're straight up, you don't like the way your life is looking, you don't like the way it's feeling, it doesn't feel good to you, it just doesn't sound good, look, it's just not good. Okay, and guess what? It's all right. Got to acknowledge it. Yes, life is not the way you want it to be right now, and you're not happy with it. That's the beginning of change. When we see in our life that we're not happy, we're not comfortable where things are right now, and you know, point blank, God, I need some change. But see, when we are, when we begin to deceive ourselves and think that we're okay, life is all right, it's okay, but we know you're hating it. That's not wise. That's not wisdom, and that's not God. So here it is, as we begin to see the word in action, he goes forth and says, verse 4, abide in me. That word abide means to stay, remain. So he says, stay in me, abide in me, and I in you. See, he's going to be there, but we have to make a choice to be in him as he is in us. Okay? As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. So in other words, you can't do it by yourself. We want some things to happen, but at the same time, there's only but so much you can do within yourself. Unless it abides in the vine. Unless it stays in the vine. In other words, we have to go to the divine way of doing this. We have to go through divine intervention. We have to go through, be connected to him through the vine. He said, neither can you unless you abide in me, unless you remain, unless you live through and flow through me. See, now as we begin to incorporate the word in our lives, we're going to begin to find ourselves speaking some things. We're going to find ourselves even meditating on some things, thinking on some things. See, that's what the word said. Word God said, think on these things. Whatsoever good, whatsoever pleasant, whatsoever good report. All those things that are good. See, we cannot meditate on negativity but expect positive to come out. It's going to take you being more mindful and watchful, even of your mental activities. It's going to take you lining up to the truth of God's word in order for you to see the truth of the change that comes from it. The word God has been given to us to inspire us to awaken us to the presence of God in our lives, to connect us to him, to help us to stay connected to our Lord. And not only that, but to become and mature and blossom, flourish into the man and woman of God that he's called us to be, that his first original design was set out to be for us. it's going to take us coming to a place in him and resting there. There's a place of rest for the people of God. As we begin to find our place in him, we will begin to find our place through him. As he's moving and operating in our lives, we will find the word in action through our lives. Okay, he says, neither can you unless you abide in me. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's going to take us, you know, really being connected to him and flowing in him in order for us to be, to have the results as he wants. Okay, for example, it's going to take us to remind ourselves of the word. Well, let me say this, Romans chapter 12, verse 9, 12 verse 1 and 2. Let's go there real quick and we'll move from there. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When you present, that means you give, that means you hand over, you surrender. Amen. When you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, that means we, at the beginning of salvation, we surrender ourselves to the Lord. We give ourselves to him. Now, not to give ourselves to him and take ourselves back. Okay, he said, living sacrifice holy, and accept the set apart and acceptable to the Lord, which are reasonable service. Number two, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Be not patterned after. Be not made after this world. But be transformed. When you see something is transformed, that means it's changed. Now, as we're changing our world, that means we have to change the way we've been doing things, change what we've been thinking, change what we've been speaking, change what we've been accepting, change what we have learned to love. I mean, look, you can say I love to have a slim body weight and this and that, but you can't love Oreos. I mean, so much to the point to where you eating that over doing was this. Let's just say what it is. We can't love the same thing that's hurting us. We can't love the things that's in direct opposition to what we're saying. It's going to take a heart change. We have to see things for what it is in order for us to have the results that we need to have. In order for us to move in the direction that we need to move, we have to understand that God, his word does not change. His word is stability. His word is an anchor in our lives. His word rewrites the pattern. It can change things. But we have to apply his word in order to have the results. Be not conformed, made after this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So that lets me know the way I think must change. I must elevate my thinking. I have to see from a different perspective. I have to see from a different platform. I have to see from a different angle. So as I begin to see myself the way God sees me, I can no longer see myself as someone who I heard this thing earlier tonight that says that the first 7 years of a child's life, they're under this thing of hypnosis. They're going through, how do you pronounce it? Is the hypnotizing, I would say, for lack of a better term, hypnotizing stage of life. So they are open to receive. They look and receive patterns. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. The first 7 years of a child's life builds or determines the pattern of life that they're going to have without changing anything. So that means if a child who's rich, the first 7 years, they learn, they begin to pick up behavior and activities of a rich person. If they're poor, then those 7 years begin to lay patterns of the poor mindset, lifestyle, different things they're receiving during that time. That's why those child, you know, being young, especially those years, they're like sponges. They can receive a lot of information. They can, you know, they learn a lot. They gather a lot just by being there. So when we look at the changes that's going to take place in our lives, so what happens is they grow up because those patterns we received in the first 7 years. As they grow up, you begin to see what they've become. you begin to see the mentality of the child to where some things begin to stick out. They begin to have different attitudes that either produce good or bad or whatever the case is. What they've been subjected to is what be what they're going to bring out. Now, of course, there's some people who have a different mindset to where they have inside of them something, a desire to do maybe different from what they see. Well, when that happens, sometimes they get exposed to something that's going to change them in the way they're hearing or receiving, or with the information they're taking in, or practice. I say like a teacher told me. I said, practice make perfect. No, he said, no, perfect practice make perfect. I'm like, huh? Well, the reason why that is the case, if you practice the wrong thing for so long, you practice the wrong thing, it's going. You learn the wrong thing. You develop the wrong way. But when it's, but if you practice something that's accurate, now perfect practice upon something that's accurate is going to produce the results that you want. So perfect practice makes perfect. So we have to make sure that we're practicing the right thing. So when we look at our behaviors in life now, if we're not practicing saying the right things, we're getting the wrong results. Or we're getting the results of those things that we put in the atmosphere. If you always talk about being broken, you celebrate being broken, you just get so comfortable seeing being broken, just used to the struggle. You know, I mean, we have to go through it. It's bad enough sometimes, but at the same time, if our language can hinder us. Matter of fact, he said it like this. He said, if we're not careful, after that, after those 7 years, we will find a way to sabotage ourselves to have those ending results. Like, you know, someone who's coming from a poor lifestyle or poor thing. Well, when it comes down to it, if they begin to get a raise on job or something that could possibly happen, if they're not careful, they can sabotage themselves. They will say something, do something that caused them to put them to miss the promotion or cause them not to get hired. Something, because they were only reacting or responding from the program that they've received. So if we continue to feed ourselves those bad habits will produce results that's not going to cause us to move forward in life. These bad habits will cause us to begin to sabotage our lives to where we can't even have a productive life the way God wants us to. Even if God does bless you, want to bless you, we will find a way to forfeit the blessing in order to be without. So those patterns that we lay are also the patterns that we follow. Those patterns that we follow are the same patterns that are going to bring results. Good or bad is up to us. So if we don't change our patterns, if we don't change the way we think, this is why God specifically had that verse, verse 2 in, if we cannot be conformed to this world, we cannot be patterned after this world, we cannot study or receive or be hypnotized by the patterns of this world. Let's go a little bit deeper. I would also say, even as a born-again believer, those first 7 years are critical years for you. Because those are the years that you learn the ways of a Christian, how it's supposed to be. And bad exposure will bring bad results. This is why when it comes down to church family or who you connected to in ministry is very important, because if they don't have a productive mentality, you won't grow the way you ought to grow. You won't move the way you ought to move. You won't speak the way you ought to speak. You could be a king living as a peasant, because you've been trained to receive the patterns of a peasant-minded thinking. Oh, peasant-minded thinker. Now, it's not to disrespect anyone, but we have to see the results as they are. If our ways are not pleasing to the Lord, if we're not doing things in our lifestyle ways that's pleasing to Him, we won't have the results of the Lord. So when it comes to our personal patterns of life, if we're doing things that's not going to be productive through God or the kingdom, it's not going to have kingdom results. It won't. And listen, God is not guaranteed. He is not obligated to back up, not only back up our opinion, but anything that's not God's, He don't have to back it up. So if we don't surrender ourselves, surrender our mind, surrender our hearts, surrender even our speech to God, how can he guarantee any results? Even God, being as awesome as he is, cannot guarantee anything besides his word. If we're speaking against, doing against, living against his word, he can't promise you anything. He's not even obligated to even back it up. Because him and his word are one. God cannot go against himself. Satan divided against Satan, that's not going to work. Even Satan can't do, you know, but we cannot be divided against ourselves and expect to stand. So our speech will betray us if we're not careful. What we say, how we pattern our life. Hebrews 11:3 says, we see that the worlds were framed by the word of God. See, your world is the same world you get up in every day, go work, home, church, whatever in your environment that you touch and encounter every day. That's your world. In order for that world to change, we have to do some things differently. How we speak, how we live, how we move, how we operate in our world must change. What we accept must change. Sometimes some of us accept things that we shouldn't be accepting. We accept these gifts from the enemy that we should not be accepting, that goes against God's heart. You know, sometimes we stay connected in bad relationships for the wrong reason, but yet we expect kingdom results. That's not happening. If God does not approve it, if God did not send it, then why are we accepting it? All right, glory to God. As we go a little further. All right. So in Romans 12:1-2, be not conformed to this world by renewing, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we have to understand that God wants us to get his word in us so we can prove out who he is in our life, prove out the results of his word, prove out everything he has spoken and released to us that he wants to happen for us. It takes our cooperation in order for it to happen. Remember, you can be your biggest worst enemy, you can be your whole worst enemy, because we choose to do things against the will of God, or we choose not to accept it, and we choose to fight against this pattern that he has in us. So here it goes, listen, there's proof is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now going back to the original, Mark chapter 11. Once again, if anyone has any comments or questions, amen, it's time to call 347-945-5416, 347-945-5416 plus 1. Amen. Okay, so going back to Mark 11, and we talked about the fig tree part. Let's go down more specifically to, well, we did touch on it, but anyway, let's go to after he said, let no one eat from the tree again. His disciples heard it. Let's go down to verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they had passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed was withered away. Now, Peter was shocked. Peter was shocked at this. He was like, wait a minute, hold on now. That's the same tree he just spoke to yesterday. Already this thing is dried up? He was a shock and amazed. You know, so he goes on, and Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. He just said it plain and simple, have faith in God. How did Jesus get the results that he gotten by cursing the tree at the root? have faith in God. He said, for surely I say to you, ever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, but will have whatsoever he says. So let me read that verse again. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now this lets me know, we just can't have one shot for all. You have to deal with every mountain one-on-one in your life. When we want mountains to move, we can't say, I'm talking about mountain six, but looking at mountain seven. You have to deal with your Goliath. David could not be king unless he had to go through Goliath. Goliath was part of his promotion package. Goliath was part of his process of growth. He had to face Goliath. So let me say this on this term. If you deny your Goliath, or you deny facing your Goliath, you deny yourself growth. Some places you would not get into God or just grow in life unless you face that Goliath. I'm sorry, you cannot outrun your Goliath. You can't duck, hide, bob, and weave with your Goliath and go the other way. You can try to find a way around, but guess what? It would always be there. Because until you face your Goliath, until you stand toe-to-toe with your mountain and speak to the mountain and command it to be moved, it will not move. And on the other side of the Goliath is your blessing. See, what you're looking for, I told one of my daughters today, you know, she's not a fan of math. She's not like math. But I said, what if this thing that you don't like called math, if you overcome it and change your heart towards it, could be your greatest asset ever. And so it struck me, because sometimes the thing that we hate is the very thing that's going to do it. The same thing that we get so tried in, but once we overcome it, who can stop you? Some people's area is money. It seems like if money just cannot come fast enough, can't stay long enough, it just would not stay around. If you try to find a way to trap it in, it would not stay. But if you face your Goliath and find out what it is about money that's tripping you up, what it is about money that's causing you not to perform your best, what is it about money that's causing you not to have it? Once we face that Goliath, then we can begin to work on us, and then we can begin to see the results of God. It's going to take us getting into ourselves and dealing with ourselves, by ourselves, and facing our Goliaths. You want that mountain to be moved? Speak. See, we can't comfort the mountain. We can't complain about the mountain. We can't boo-hoo cry about the mountain and expect it to move. We're going to have to begin to speak some things. And remember now, if a mountain is anything like a tree, you got to work at it. You may not get it in one chop. You may not get it in four or five. It may take a lot of chopping. But the fact is not so much, don't get caught in a process that you cannot finish. Don't get so caught up in what you have to do on a daily basis so much that you can't finish strong. At the end of the day, it's about how you finish, not even how you start. At the end of the day, it's how you finish, not how you maintained it. Some mountains in our lives, we've got comfortable with it there. Sometimes we get so comfortable with the thing that's holding us back from our blessing. On the other side of that thing is our blessing, our promotion, everything that we've been waiting on for God. But it's going to take us abandoning our will. It's going to take you abandoning your thoughts, because your thoughts are not his thoughts. nor are your ways are like his. He's far from above here. His thinking is so elevated you can't even see him. You know, but yet he's still close. Closer than a brother. See, it's going to take us, in order for us to change our world and move those mountains, we have to get the word of God in us. We have to live this word out. We have to speak this word. I remember I heard before somebody said they bumped the toe. You'd be, oh my God, You're sitting there going through all that. Thank you, Jesus, I'm healed by your stripes. Begin to change your response. See, some of us need to get a whole response change, a reaction change, any kind of change. We have to change the way we're thinking, change the way we're speaking, change the way we're receiving what's happening. Because sometimes even with a bad mentality, we can begin to accept things that's not so. We begin to put ourselves in a bad position because of what we're thinking or how we thought it about something, or how we thought. It's going to take you being aggressive about your living in order for it to change. Many times we say that we need to have enough finances. We need to live to the means or the amount of our finances. Well, what would it hurt to say that we need to find or create the income to match our lifestyle? Because sometimes we want to conform it to conform our life. We conform ourselves to our money, our life match. Diggle, thank you. Our life matches our income, right? So is it so for us to say we're going to match match our life to our income? We actually shortchanging ourselves because now we're letting money tell us how to live. Or we're letting it limit us to how to live. But reality is, we need to have the finances to match our lifestyle. Man, the money didn't make man, man made money. So why are we conforming to something that we made? And this happens when we can conform our heart to God. Because when God can trust us with more money, then we can be able to have the lifestyle that he desired for us to have, because if we're in bondage towards money, then it's going to be hard for us to grow because we're subjected to money. But when we begin to change our lifestyle, I mean, change our money, our finances to align with our life, now it opens up a whole different perspective, a whole new world, because now we're changing. Because we're evolving, we're growing, we're producing. The money trying to keep up with us. And God don't mind that, as long as we're not worshiping money. Well, even the heart set towards money. So even that, our hearts have to change. We can't be in love with money and expect to have a healthy relationship with God. No, it's great that we know it's great for what money can do. But we can't be in love with money, because also we can't be walking in the whole opposite. So much the lack of money to where we get desperate and do some crazy things. So it deals with the heart. So we have to begin to shape in our heart to according to the word of God. It takes a sober mindset. It takes a sober heart set in order for us to see the results of what God wants us to have in our life. In order for us to speak good things, we have to take in good things. We have to receive good things. Philippians 14, this is my last one for tonight. Amen. Still didn't even get into the casting moment, but we have to do this part here. When we talk about the results, talk about our mindset towards. Well, what is our mind saying? We got to get our mind right, man. We get our heart right. We can't expect some great things from God, but we're full of corruption. We're full of things that's not aligning with God. He says, 4:6. Was it verse 4:4? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. be anxious for nothing. Stop being anxious. Yeah, I realize in some parts of my life to where I allow myself to be anxious. And when I be anxious, that means I just go ahead and just do it, make a move without thinking. Next thing you know, I got a mess. To be able to be honest with yourself and realize, okay, look, am I being anxious? And why am I being anxious? Is the fear of not having something, the fear of having something, the fear of you not being loved, not being accepted, or fear of being rejected? What is it that's causing you to be anxious in the area of your life? What is really going on? Why can't you just trust God, take God at His word? But what has caused you to be so unstable in your heart, or even so trusting in yourself more than you trust God? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, not some things, everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, let's go back to that. Okay, after being anxious, he said, but in everything, prayer and supplication. Now, you've talked, communicating with God, but also giving God your requests. He says, with thanksgiving, giving God thanks, being grateful, let your requests be made known to God. Tell him what you want, what's on your heart. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So it goes beyond our human attributes. It goes beyond our human potentials. See, it goes beyond, well, a situation where somebody said, man, that person should be falling out right now, but they're standing still. They're still trusting God. Why? Because they know their hope is not in themselves. Their hope is not in this flesh. Their hope is not in what they know. But their hope is in God, who they know. Okay, he goes on to say, so that's the understanding. Will guard, protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, the peace of God is also the protection of God. The peace of God here acts as a shield. Earlier I got dressed and I was leaving my house. One of my daughters, well, it said to me, she said, Daddy, you look so different today. You look so calm. And my son said, well, he's always calm. But I knew what she was saying. I entered into a place with God today, and it brought her such a peace. I said, baby, you're right. You see it. And that was amazing because, she being 8 years old and point that out, and she's very observant with that. And she be paying attention to some things that others don't. And when she said that, I was blown. I was like, wow. I said, okay. I said, no, baby, you're right. Yeah, something has changed. Something has changed this morning. Something is different this week. You know, because I knew some things did take. So even with that peace, it's a protection, it's a guard. But guard your hearts and your mind. That's why when the devil tries to take your peace, he can try to go for your mind and your heart, all these other things. When your peace is surrendered, I'm trying to tell you, that's what he really bringing to Calvary, because he's really trying to take over you and get you all shook up and damaged, all of that at the same time. He says, so guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy, meditate, think on, rest your mind on these things. So we cannot have a double-minded mindset and expect to have a solid result from God. See, we have to understand that the more we allow His peace to come in and settle us in our heart, the more we find ourselves trusting God even before we even think about it. See, we can't let the world run us. We can't let the world dictate us when we take a break, how we should take a break, this and that. We can't let the world do that to us, because the world will conform you. It will trap you. It will make you subject yourself to it. and we miss the things of God. So he goes on this verse, says, the things which you have learned, received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. See, once again, your connection of the pattern, who you are following after. We can't follow everything, everyone, just because they say they're a leader or whatever case may be. We got to follow the Lord. We have to stay connected in our hearts and follow the one who he's placed in our lives to lead us and navigate us to. Sometimes it may not be who you would have chosen. It might be something totally different than you expected. But the bottom line is, to obey is always better than sacrifice. So I encourage you tonight, speak to your mountain, command it to be removed. Not only that, but change your world. Look at your world and see what it is you like. You like about your world, see what you don't like. You know, those things you don't like, change it. Only me, only you, we can do that. It's going to take the love of God as the pastor will understand it. But keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It's going to take him holding us through it all. So thank God for the word of God tonight. We just pray that you receive something. Amen. It's time to open up the floor. Does anyone have any questions, comments, or concerns? You're welcome to, you know, come call in and open your heart. Amen. So press number one, and we will get to you as soon as possible. We'll let you come forward to speak, or your mind, your question, whatever it is may be. Amen. Press the number one on your phone. Amen. And we should be able to go from there. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you see. For what's being said, and we also thank you for the questions upon the hearts of those who are going to come forth. So bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Who's there speaking tonight?
Oh, God bless you, Apostle Marcus. This is Apostle Naima. Awesome word tonight. Thank you so much for reminding us the power that is in our mouth, and to begin to shape or form or transform, rather, our world and speak and command to those mountains. There was something that you said, well, several things that you said that really kind of struck a chord with me. One of the things you talked about when you were addressing the part where we have to deal with you know, at times adversity and challenges, you know, as we are in the process or as we're on the path of our destinations. And so you said that Goliath was part of David's promotion package, and I thought that was really profound. Never heard it quite put that way before. And you know what? You're absolutely correct. That I never would have worded it that way. I never heard it spoken that way, but it makes absolute sense, and it is something that I'm going to chew on for a little bit. Amen. So I just want to say thank you for that word, and I was truly blessed. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle. You're welcome. Amen. Truly, God knows exactly what to say and do, and he knows how to bring this thing on to our hearts because he knows where we are. And believe it or not, those fears or those challenges in life are the same fuels that's going to cause us to have great success. But we have to face them first. We cannot win going forward running backwards. You know, and I thank God for just preparing our hearts. That lets me know some great things are in store, but we just have to cooperate with God. So God bless you. We thank you. Thank you for being on tonight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Also, could you tell us very briefly, just kind of spread the word a little bit about the five love languages is coming up, and you all please check my page, and I'll have more additional information about the specifics. But even could you share briefly what we're working on together?
Absolutely. We are currently engaging or embarking upon a journey. You know, when we look at love and we think about love, a lot of people think that it's just an instant thing that we already know how to do and communicate. and we take these ideas into our relationships, our marital relationships, and even our parenting, because we think that people will automatically feel our love, and then the more we're trying, the more that they're going to feel it. And that's not always the case. That's not always the case in marriages, which you will hear couples communicate that because the husband doesn't understand why the wife is not feeling all this love that he's demonstrating from his perspective, and vice versa. That's not always the case with our children because they can undergo the same thing. So we're using Gary Chapman's book to delve into how to effectively communicate love, how to express it and experience it, because love is one of those primary needs that all of us have. And so it gives us tools, it gives us principles that we would be able to apply not only in our marriages and our romantic endeavors, but also in our other relationships, whether it be our parenting, our friendships, our even ministry. It helps us to be able to fill up another person's love tank, so to speak. And so each Thursday we are on Facebook Live. We have a group page that is dedicated to this cause. It's Understanding the Five Love Languages webinar. The URL to get there is facebook.com/groups/5LL Web. This Thursday we will be broadcasting live at 6 p.m. in which Apostle Marcus and his beautiful wife will be one of the panelists. We also have another array of panelists that will be sitting in to share not only from a personal perspective, but also from a professional perspective, a ministerial perspective, so that it can better give us the tools that we need so we can get the love that we want as well as give it to those that we love. So that's what we're working on Thursdays, 6 p.m. Amen. Eastern Standard Time, Facebook Live. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. And we're looking forward to a great time, great things to be helped. You know, one thing with marriages, you don't have to have a problem in order to get counseling, not necessarily counseling, but to get more informed about marriage. Because a lot of times marriages happen, or we go into marriage based off what we see, what we hear people say or do, or what we think. You know, and sometimes that's not always the best case. We need that positive reinforcement. See, the biggest thing about a problem is if you could take care of it before it becomes a problem. You know, so yes, we take care of it. We learn things before you come to that road, or get a handle on, or to know how to approach it. We prevent a lot of tragedies from happening. So preventive measures are always better to take than having to come back and do a surgery after it's done.
Mm-hmm.
So amen. So we look forward to that. So once again, if you check my page, I'll have that passing on, sharing with you guys as well, to let you know if I was on Thursday night. Get prepared for that. For those who can join, it's going to be great. Come on and definitely be blessed. Thank you again, Apostle. God bless you. Amen.
God bless you.
All right. Amen. Anyone else at this time? Anyone else have a question, comment, or concern? Need prayer. Amen. At this time as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But our world needs to change in some different areas. And it's always good to be aggressive about it, you know, because sometimes when we be, you know, lackadaisical about it and just going through, okay, I need to change, but I'm going to do some things. I'm going to do it a little later. It's going to take sometimes you being mad and aggressive at your life in order for you to bring forth some change. It really, in order for some of those mountains, this is why sometimes the enemy, see, David was furious at Goliath because of how Goliath disrespected him and his fellow brethren. It's also too disrespected his God. See, if you was David, and if someone disrespected your God, and as passionate as David was about God, you better believe he wasn't going to let it happen like that. You know, so we have to be, you know, be ready to move at all times. So this is a war that we're in. So, but we also know how to need to know how to fight properly that we can last and endure. We were already built to win. It's already a fixed fight. But even we can throw the fight if we're not careful. So amen. So at this time, amen. Anyone else who have a question or comment or concern, press 1 and we will answer your call. All right. Well, once again, thank God for each and every one. We pray that you receive something from this first part of this. Amen. So we'll be back with Nick for part 2 next week as we get more into it. Because there's some mountains that need to be moved, and we have to be able to approach these mountains with confidence. Amen. And with expectation. And in order for you to remember, in order for you to get your benefits package, you got to go through your Goliath. You cannot get past that and get to that. Amen. You got to handle this. It didn't get to that. So we got to handle our kingdom business. That means there's some things you need to take down, move out of the way. There's some things you need to speak to and command to be moved. So truly, do not be afraid to walk in and operate in your authority. He's given us authority to bring change, to enforce the word, not for us to do what we want to do and miss God. So we encourage. And as we get ready to release the prayer and release the line, thank you all for joining us on this week. Be back on next week. We go for part 2, and we're going deeper. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for what we received, what's said and done in Jesus' name. Thank you for the change that's happened, that's taking place, and we thank you for the results of your word. Now, Lord, we thank you, Lord God, in the midst of the challenges in the fight, that we shall stay encouraged. We shall be encouraged. We shall be motivated, oh God, to go forth and do what you call us to do in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. But every tongue that rises against us, Lord God, we condemn it in Jesus' name. So we thank you for the results of your word. We thank you for the results of change. And we embrace this moment, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the improvement in our lives, oh God, as we apply the word, as we allow your word to deal with us daily. Thank you for the results that's going to come forth mightily in Jesus' name. Lord God, show yourself strong in the name of Jesus, oh God. We give you praise, give you all honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Thank you again. See you next week.